Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church, and welcome to worship this day. Welcome to worship at First United Methodist Church here in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. I'm Pastor Lindsay, one of the clergy that serves here, and it is wonderful to join you in worship. Special warm welcome to those who are worshiping with us online this day. And as we gather for worship this day, I'm so thankful to Bob Hemphill and Bruce Stark, who are leading us in worship, as well as Susan Snow and Mike Tooman in our music ministry. Thank you for being our worship leaders this day. This day, as we gather for worship, this glorious, beautiful fall day, we also gather in great thanks and great gratitude as we celebrate Veterans Sunday. At this time, I would invite you, if you have served in the military, if you have loved ones that have, I would invite you to stand that we might thank you for your service, that we might share our gratitude and share our appreciation. Would you please stand if you've served in the military? And I would invite you, if you would like, to share your name and where you served and what branch you are a part of.
Sandy McPherson, U.S. Air Force, served in West Berlin.
Thank you.
Kay Bruns, and I have a whole family that are military. My brother is retired Army. All three of his children are active duty, Coast Guard, Air Force, and Army. And the Air Force daughter just promoted to Lieutenant Colonel, married to another Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. I'm terribly proud of that.
Thank you.
As a former Brighton boy, I spent about 14 years in the National Guard.
Thank you. Let us again share our gratitude and appreciation. There are many in our congregation, as well as extended families, that have shared their service. And so I'd invite you to turn to the screen, as you're going to be able to see through photo and hear through music the wonderful veterans that have served among us.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord God, we lift up to you those who have served our country in your name. Let them feel the deep love we have for them and what they have done for us. Help us also to recognize where you are calling us to work in your name. Make us strong and courageous as they were before us. In facing whatever battles you call us to. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. You can take a seat. Hello to everyone joining us online as well. My name is Bailey, and I am the Children and Student Ministries Director here at First United Methodist Church, and I'm so excited to share our Young Christians moment with you today. I want to start with a little question. Who here has been on a road trip before with their family, all packed into one car? Like, I'm talking more than 4 hours. That's probably the mark where I would call it a road trip, because at that point, once you've passed the 4-hour mark, you're going to stop for bathroom breaks, especially if you have the little ones with you. And that is a road trip to me. So it could have been in Michigan, but my family, the ones that I remember when I was a kid, were the road trips to Florida. And we would drive the straight 27 hours. My dad did not stop. He would just go straight through. I mean, I remember waking up at like 5 in the morning. I'm like 8 years old. This is horrible. It's like the worst thing I can imagine. And we're getting in the car. We're going to Disney, so it should be really fun. But man, me and my little brother packed into the back of that car was an experience. I am convinced that you might have a perfect family, You, like, maybe you do. Maybe you have a perfect family. But once you get on a road trip for more than 4 hours, no one has a perfect family. No one does. You can't even claim that you do. Me and my brother, I mean, I just remember it got to the point I love my little brother. I love him so much. And we have a much more friendly sibling relationship today. But, man, when we were little, it was the worst. It was just arguments back and forth. He's poking me. He's touching me. I want to watch The Incredibles. I want to watch, I don't even know. It was just endless, ceaseless arguments. I don't know how my parents made it through that. But we would build these like little tents for ourselves. Like we would tie up blankets to provide some separation. I mean, that was the point that it was at, right? And so that was what was going through my mind this whole time that we're talking about perfect families. I'm like, man, nobody's family is perfect on a road trip, because it's just like the little things too. Like he's chewing his gum too loud. He's smacking his lips. Like, I mean, when you're stuck in the car with someone and you can't get away from them except for stopping at those really scary rest stops and going in to go to the bathroom. I mean, yeah, it was an experience. Now my family stops about halfway, so we do it in like 12-hour increments, or we fly, so that's much better now, praise God. But yeah, I mean, you think about that. And so I just think about, as we're talking about, we're called to love our family. I mean, if you can love your family through a 4 to 24-hour to even longer road trip, then you can love them anywhere at any time. So I just encourage you, I mean, the next time you go on a road trip, or the next time your little brother or your little sister or your mom or your dad are really grating on your nerves because they just can't stop smacking their lips at the dinner table or whatever it may be, that you would just remember that we're still called to love them, right? I mean, I can't remember how I would have reacted as a kid if someone had told me that while I was in the car. Probably not well, if I'm being honest. But maybe the next time you're in that situation where they're just pressing your buttons, you can remember this that Bailey Brown told you today on November 8th, that you're called to still love your brother and sister and mother and father and anybody else in your life, even when they're pushing your buttons like that. So as we're talking about perfect families, I wanted to open and just be real upfront with all of you that my family is not perfect, and we'll continue to hear lots of fun stories about my family and all of our imperfections as we continue in this series. But I'm just really excited to share all of that with you, and yeah, just remember, you're still called to love them. So keep that in the back of your heads as we move through this sermon series. Let's pray. God, thank you for our families. Thank you for the reminder that even when we're not perfect, and we honestly rarely ever are, that even when we're not perfect, that we're still called to love them. God, so thank you for everyone that you've put into our lives that loves us, whether it's parents, grandparents, step-parents, brothers, sisters, step-siblings, whoever it may be, friends, family, all of those people. Thank you for putting them in our lives to love us, to minister to us, even when we are being the imperfect ones as well. So thank you, God. We just thank you, and we pray in your son's name. Amen.
Our scripture today comes from 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Bob, for reading the scripture for us this morning. Let us pray. Oh, holy and loving God, we do gather on this beautiful morning, this gorgeous fall morning, We gather in person and online. We gather as church community, both near and far. We gather with great thanks for the love and the grace you always have for us. As we gather this day to hear songs that we may be encouraged, and as we hear scripture that we might be stretched, now, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing in your sight. You, God, who are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Yesterday afternoon, I sat on the front porch of our parsonage in the beautiful 70-degree weather, enjoying the sunshine and the breeze as the leaves were gently falling down from the trees, those last leaves that remain. And the neighbors were out raking those leaves, and the dogs were barking, and kids were out in the yard playing, and it just was a gorgeous autumn day. Beautiful weather beyond belief. Were you outside this weekend enjoying the gorgeous weather? Well, as I sat on the front porch in a gliding rocking chair that Pastor John and I have, I could hardly believe that the calendar said November 7th. It's hard to believe because in just a few short weeks, Advent will be here, that time leading up to Christmas. Christmas is just around the corner. Soon the holiday lights will be set up, and I'm not so sure I'm ready for Christmas, even as long as this year has been. But I'll tell you, there is one thing that I love about this time of the year, and it's all of the Christmas cards that start to get delivered this time of the year. It's that time when the holiday cards begin making their appearances in mailboxes across the country, when Christmas letters, when holiday cards are delivered by the millions by postal carriers as they're delivered door to door, sending a little bit of holiday cheer. I just love getting Christmas cards in the mail. And it's particularly fun to receive Christmas cards with a family photo on it. Maybe something like this. It's fun to see holiday cards with kids and parents, maybe even grandparents or dogs in the mix to bring a little Christmas cheer. Even in a year like 2020, we could use a little extra Christmas cheer. But as families dress up in their best outfits and put on their very happy smiles to try to capture a very perfect family photo, maybe not like this one, as they stand there with their perfect smiles and their neatly pressed clothes, looking like a magazine picture, I sometimes wonder, is there such a thing as a picture-perfect family? I mean, even the Brady Bunch was a great family, but they certainly weren't perfect. And Leave It to Beaver with Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver, do you remember that show? Or My Three Sons, those were all pretty great families from the 1950s and 60s, but even they weren't perfect. Is there such a thing as a picture-perfect family? Oftentimes what we see in a photo isn't the full story. We know that because of Photoshop. We know that because of what people post on social media and doctor things up a little bit. We know that what the picture says isn't always the full story because of advertising companies doctoring up their pictures to make their product look better. Certainly, what we see in a photo isn't always the whole story. Smiling faces might be covering up a new cancer diagnosis, or smiling faces in a family photo might be covering up family conflict or loss. Smiling faces might be blocking out a hardship of a job struggle or a financial struggle in a hard time. Behind every picture-perfect family is a real family. And with a real family comes real life, and with real life comes imperfection. The families of the Bible certainly weren't perfect. When you begin to dig into the scripture, starting first from Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, when we look at those first Genesis families, we come to Adam and Eve. They had children Cain and Abel, and well, that story didn't end too well with one sibling taking the life of another. And then into Genesis, we go on and we discover Isaac and Rebekah's family. They had twin boys, Jacob and Esau. These twin boys, they were always at each other. Jacob was dad's favorite. Jacob was mom's favorite. Esau was dad's favorite. They were always fighting over blessings and birthrights, and while their relationship did kind of partly reconcile into adulthood, they never were quite the family that they'd hoped for. And then there's the story of Joseph. Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, if you've seen the musical. Joseph, there's the story of Joseph. He's one of many sons born to that twin, Jacob. His older brothers didn't like him because he was dad's favorite child. And in fact, his older siblings didn't like him so much that they sold him off to slavery into Egypt. Talk about a dysfunctional family. But they eventually worked things out in the end. There's countless stories. First, starting from Genesis and making your way all through the Bible, there's countless stories that illustrate these imperfect families. Imperfect families of the Bible that involve stories of conflict or violence or broken relationships, greed. They're all part of the family narrative. They're human. Families of the Bible were certainly not perfect. But grace and forgiveness and reconciliation and hope, they were also quite often part of those family narratives. We all know that families come in a variety of shapes and sizes. There's the families of origin to which we were born, maybe with parents or siblings. There's our birth families. There's our foster families. There's our adoptive families. There's those families we marry into if we get married into our adulthood, gaining in-laws and an extended family. And then there's those families that we create. Those families that we choose to kind of assemble together from great neighbors and coworkers and deep friendships over time that foster. And they might not necessarily be a part of our family tree, but they become dear friends that we soon call family. However you define your family, whatever that configuration looks like, some blood relatives, others not, however you define it, whomever you include, I don't think there's such a thing as a perfect family. No matter how hard we might try to capture it in a photo and send it off in a Christmas card. Perhaps we're better off sending cards something like this. But I'll tell you a picture of a family that came pretty close to being perfect. Pretty close to being perfect. Last week I was on a Zoom call with some folks from our church. It comprised of some newer people to our congregation as well as some longer time members here at First United Methodist in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. And while we were gathering on this Zoom call, it was an opportunity for those newer folks to get better connected here, to find out what all the offerings are, to get to know longtime members. And as longtime members shared their stories about how they got connected here and what all the things they love about this great church community, I felt an overwhelming sense of joy just bubbling up within me. It was such a privilege to hear stories about how the church had supported folks during difficult times of maybe a health challenge, or how the church family supported them in times of grief, or how the church family helped be the wider village that helped raise their children and teenagers. It was incredible to see how some folks have been members for decades, calling this their church home since they were born or since they were really, really little. It was also incredible to hear how others were welcomed in their adulthood. Maybe they moved here for jobs into the Brighton area, and how they were embraced into this church community. I'll tell you, as one of your new pastors, one of the best things that I've enjoyed is getting to hear your stories and getting to hear how First United Methodist Church has continued to be such a place of support and love and compassion, a place of belonging, a place of acceptance, a place of community over the years. It's been incredible to hear these stories. And while our church isn't perfect, no church is perfect, I'll tell you that this church is filled with incredible disciples who truly are loving each other, who truly are seeking to know God and love God and serve God. This past week, we also had Charge Conference, where we were on that Zoom call with our district superintendent and ad board and closer leadership of the church, and it was exciting that even in the midst of a pandemic, this congregation is still busy doing incredible ministry. Serving at CAS down in Detroit, offering meals to Noah, confirming students in the faith, baptizing babies, bringing in new members, holding Bible studies, making beautiful quilts. This church is a busy place. While we aren't a perfect church family, there certainly never really is one, it is a place of belonging and acceptance and community. It's a church where all are welcome, whether you are gay or straight or black or white or Democrat or Republican. It's a place where all are welcome, whether you have a lot of money in your pocket or only a handful of coins. All are welcome here into God's great church family. This church, it's a place where you're welcome whether you have all of the answers to the faith and you've read the Bible cover to cover 20 times and you teach Bible study all week long, or you're also welcome here if you are new to the faith journey and just trying to figure things out and have a lot of doubt. You're welcome here whether you've gone to church your whole life and you call being a Methodist is something you've been since you were a little tiny toddler, or if you're stepping foot in the doors for the very first time, you're welcome here. You're welcome here whether you feel like you've made fantastic choices in life, or if you know you've screwed up and you've done things you're not very proud of and you hold a lot of guilt and shame. You're welcome here and you're in the right place. You're welcome here just as you are. This is a place for you to belong. As I listened to the Zoom call earlier this week of the new church members and the longtime church members, I heard example after example of the church being its best. The church at its best, caring for each other, loving for each other, encouraging each other on. And so as I was listening and hearing about the church at its best, it was reminding me of the scripture passage that Bob read for us this morning. Thanks, Bob. It reminded me of this 1 Corinthians chapter 13 passage. So actually, this is a letter that was written to the church in Corinth, and Paul, he was writing to the church. They're experiencing conflict. They're experiencing some division. And as Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth, he's illustrating what love looks like when it's put into action. He argues that without love, we've lost our way. And then he goes on to describe what love looks like when it's lived out. Let's hear these words of scripture one more time from 1 Corinthians 13, the first 8 verses. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I have nothing. If I give away all of my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own ways. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. I think there's something good for us to take away from this scripture message, or from the scripture passage this morning. The church at its best is all about love. And while the church on earth is certainly imperfect, it's far from being perfect, just like our imperfect families, there is good news. There's good news that we are also a part of God's family. God's great family. From the moment we take our first breath of life, we are a part of God's family. When we are baptized, when the water of baptism is poured out upon us, it becomes this outward, this visible sign of God's grace and love poured out upon us, and it becomes this visual sign of us belonging and being a part of God's great family. The church isn't always perfect. Our families aren't always perfect, and so it's good news to know that we're a part of God's family. And in God's family, you're welcome just as you are. In God's family, you belong, and you don't have to try to be someone that you're not. In God's family, you are deeply and unconditionally loved. Nothing you've ever done could separate you from God's love. Nothing you could ever do in the future could make God love you any less. No sin you've committed, no wrong choice you've made, nothing you've ever been ashamed of could make God stop loving you less. In God's family, there's always a place for you. I know that not everybody grew up in such great homes. Not everybody knows the Leave It to Beaver story, the Mr. and Mrs. Cleaver, where they seem just to have this perfect home and these wonderful children. Not everybody grew up in such great homes, and not everybody has a place where they always feel like they belong or accepted. Our families are imperfect. There's tension or conflict. But in God's family, you belong. And you're loved and you're accepted. Over the past 4 months that Pastor John and I have been here, I'll tell you, one of the greatest joys has been getting to know you and your families and hearing your stories. Of course, it's imperfect. Mine is imperfect. But perhaps there's beauty in the imperfection. Or maybe if you're struggling with your family right now, maybe it's not the end of the story. Maybe the story is yet to be written. It might take hard work. It might take a lot of prayer. It might take some crucial conversations or addressing conflict. It might take a lot of forgiveness and understanding to change that narrative. But if you don't like the direction of where it's going, by God's grace, maybe a new ending can be written. God's a God of new beginnings. God's a God of hope. God's a God of resurrection and new life. Things can change. New endings to family narratives can be written so that grace and reconciliation and mercy and forgiveness and hope might be found. God's a God of love. And when things are challenging and when family narratives don't seem to go how you want, remember that there's always a place for you in this church. And there's certainly always a place for you in God's family. There might not be such a thing as picture-perfect families. But in God's family, we're welcome, we belong, and we're loved. Thanks be to God for that good news. Amen.
As we enter into a time of prayer, I want to call your attention to the two prayer quilts we have. Please raise a hand as we pray for these people that need it. Good and gracious God, as we pray for our prayer quilt recipients, we ask your blessing on them and ask that you give them strength to endure the situations they are in. We pray for them and hope they know that as they wrap themselves in the warmth of these quilts, they are also wrapped in our love and our prayers for them. Help them in their time of need and give them the peace they need at this time. Amen. Now will you join me as we continue in an attitude of prayer? Glorious God, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. For all that you have given us, we bless your holy name. You have created all things, and you are the ruler of everything that exists. We praise you. We offer you our lives in faithful service. Enable us to seek your will, lest we fail to realize what we can learn through your grace. By your greatness and strength, secure us. By your love and faithfulness, protect us. By your wisdom and power, direct us in all we do, so that we may proclaim your wonderful works to all. Reveal your goodness to all who need your strength and love today. Teach us how we can best support and encourage them. To encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling home with perfect family issues. Those that are struggling on road trips for 27 hours. Those that are struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that have lost loved ones. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. To understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. To help them understand that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. We pray this morning for our veterans, those that are still serving and away from friends and family, those that are still suffering from injuries, both physical and mental, suffered during their service. Those that serve to protect our country from outside sources, may they all find peace and rest from your care and grace. In times of need and doubt, the disciples went to Jesus for comfort and for strength. May we learn from the disciples that Jesus is our source of comfort and strength as well. Oh God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. We strive to be always grateful for all you give us, even though sometimes we think we can handle it all on our own. Sometimes we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen."
This week, as I met on the Zoom call, it was so encouraging and so uplifting to hear all of the stories about how people have been touched by the community at First United Methodist Church here in Brighton and Whitmore Lake. When we give to God through the church, we get to be a part of the transforming ministries that take place in the lives of people. Hearing on the Zoom call how kids have been raised in the faith, and hearing about the thankfulness of Sunday school and mission trips, and hearing about all the great ways that kids have grown in the faith across the years. It's because of your generosity in giving to God through the church. Hearing about how the congregation has cared for one another. How you've been supportive of each other through Bible studies and prayer and opportunities again. It's all because of your gifts and generosity to God through the church. I invite you at this time to share of your tithes and your offerings, whether you go online and do so, electronic means on our church website, or if you place your offering in the plate after worship is over. And whether you reach into your pocket and you pull out a handful of change or you write a check, thank you. Every gift is a blessing. Every gift is a part of transforming lives and changing the world. Thank you. As we leave this time of worship, just a couple of announcements to lift up. One, if you haven't checked out Amplify Media yet, I'd encourage you to do so. It's like United Methodist Netflix, an opportunity for you to watch videos of pastors and theologians and authors from the comfort of your own home. You can go onto our church website and get the information on how you can subscribe to Amplify Media, a free resource for you to grow in the faith at home. The second thing I want to lift up is if you go to our website, you can begin to register for Christmas Eve worship. We're going to be having RSVPs so that way we can make sure people are safely attending worship. I'd encourage you to go online and do that. If you're not comfortable doing it online, you can call into the church office during the weekday, and Wendy and Karen can help you make your RSVP. Well, as we leave for this time of worship, may the love of God go with you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you, and the power of the Holy Spirit fill you. That you might go forth in love and service to this world. And though our families are very imperfect, though the church doesn't always get it quite right, we are blessed to be a part of God's perfect family. A place where you can belong, a place where you can be yourself, a place where you are loved unconditionally just for who you are. Go with God's grace this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.